الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم جنة ما لم يخرقها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. As we have been repeating that this is a month, ideal month to make our islah and to make our connection with Allah Ta'ala, and that is the purpose for which Allah sent us in this world. And in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has made it, magnified it, made it much more easy. There are great, great bargains up. And it is just for us to take it, and great, great profits. And the greatest thing is to make our islah and to get connected with Allah Ta'ala. Ibadat, the sawab, mashallah, that is all on its place. But to make our islah. So for that, we should keep our rozas properly. And as we had mentioned again, that keep rozas of the eyes also. And especially, yeah, it is easy, so observe it properly. And don't look down upon anyone. Don't look anything that we are not supposed to look at, on the phone, etc. also. Then roza of the tongue, let us not speak anything that we should not be speaking. And it just is very, very dangerous, the tongue. It's a very, very lethal weapon. Much more worse than atom bombs, nitrogen bombs, and that also, the tongue is much more worse. We have to control it and look after it very, very much. Then the ears also. In every aspect, control what we are listening to also. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should go out in the bazaar places, and if music was playing anywhere, then he should put his fingers in his ears. And he should ask his khadim, that is the sound gone now? Then he should take out. That is how they took precaution. And a person who has concern of his iman will do this. He won't say, worry. The people will say, he's like a stupid. He's like backwards. One time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was at Karachi International Airport. He was on his wheelchair, and where he was sitting, all the passengers were passing in front. Lot of ladies also, and they don't know, most many don't observe parda also. So he told his khadim to turn his wheelchair to face the wall. So let the people say that, like he's a madman, he's facing the wall. Let them do that. For example, a place where there are ladies and that, you bend down, tie your shoelace, or do something else. Let them say that you, the people think you are backwards and that doesn't, you preserve your iman. If you have value for your iman, you worry about your iman. And if we are also just like the other people, that we mustn't be look like stupid or old-fashioned or backwards, then we will lose our iman. So we must be careful. So Allah give us tawfiq. Then also about not the tongue, but about the mouth, our eating. That is very important. We discussed some aspects yesterday. Further, just to solidify that and to let us understand that the first thing we must be concerned of is that we don't eat haram. If we consume haram, then as we have mentioned, just by way of to understand that even shaitan will go on an early retirement. Because if we are eating haram, dua is not accepted, ibadat not accepted, our efforts of deen not accepted, everything is destroyed. So what work has shaitan got left? And the other very sad part which we explained, that when our ulama, not ulama, the ulama of the Yahud and Nasara, they also make lot of effort on us, and they have studied our deen, perhaps really more than many of us know our deen. They know our deen better. On one occasion, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was explaining, and I just came a bit later in the gathering, And he was explaining that there were these people who get up 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they are doing Bara Tasbih, Zikre Jehri. And they are trained. They know everything about our deen. So I was saying, Subhanallah. So Hazrat told me, keep quiet, don't say Subhanallah. Listen first to everything. These were all Jews and Christians who were being trained. And then they were sent to Muslim countries as big ulama and big buzurgs. And then they were infiltrating and misleading the ummah. Who were the two people who were trying to take the body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Masjid An-Nabawi, from Rawza-e Mubarak? Two Jews. And they were the most generous people in Medina. They should make regularly da'wat of the poor people. And everyone held them in high esteem as very great and very pious people. Till when Allah, by means of a dream, showed the Amir of Makkah, of Medina Sharif, that he must get rid of these two people. And then the details of that. So we must be very careful. So they made efforts also. And they are still making. And then the Orientalists, who were not their ulama as such openly, but who wrote great books in favor of Islam. But they left poison in between. One, two sentences was enough to destroy the iman of a person. Then we know of the Crusades, who openly fought against the Islam, against the Muslims. And then the modernists in the Ummah. In the Ummah, people who were not ulama, but they were modernists. And everyone understood them, and nobody really paid attention. They just had a few people following them because they were the modernists, and everyone knew them. They're not ulama also. And then there were those ulama that who studied, for example, in Azhar, or who studied in Medina University. That also, the people say, oh, they studied there. So their ideas are different. And on one occasion, last year or so, there was a seminar, a convention in Malaysia, and organized by Rabita of Makkah Sharif. So our ulama also were there, and when they saw there was a woman with her hair all open, shorts, no trouser. So what is she doing in this convention? They say, keep quiet, she's the Sheikhul Hadith of Azhar. So if those who study there, and that, then what can you expect? But now our ulama, who studied by our ulama, our great, great ulama, and people listen to them, they're our ulama. They say, okay, you also animes, they also animes. And they've studied, but they are openly propagating kufr. And they are openly destroying the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, the support of the Gulen movement is an open thing, which is, go and check it up for yourself on the internet. But it is the type of brand of Islam that is being prepared in the White House of America. And it is clear that to destroy the sunnah, the deen as we know it, of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and to bring up a modern deen, a complete different deen, with the name of Islam and everything, but have nothing to do with the deen of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Then the Abrahamic Accord, and which is also so clear how it's misleading kufr openly, that Islam is not the only religion that will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. All the other religions also, and all the other evil that is with there. Then all the going on YouTube and TV, which is all the illegitimate children of photography, which is the 13 and a half centuries. The whole ummah, Arabs, non-Arabs, Muslim, ulama, all regard totally haram. Till when the camera came, and then the ulama of Azhar, they gave fatwa that this is not a picture which is referred to in the hadith. This is not the hand-drawn picture, so this is mechanically, by the camera it is made. So this is not included in that. And then Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib gave the full answers of that. And then now with the digital, now the ulama, some ulama say there is not a picture. The picture which is made through digital. It is not but all that answers Mufti Shafi Sahib gave already 50 years ago. All that. So we have to be very careful which Islam we are following. Anyway, so with regard to the, so when Shaitan saw we are eating widespread haram, so what work has he got left to do? Everyone is his own Shaitan now. And then with such type of ulama, now even more, he has got not even, he doesn't even have to check up anymore that is his work carrying on or not. It's going on headlong. So it is very necessary, but Allah's system is that Allah will always keep وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ سَوَامِعُ وَبَيْعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرٌ. Allah will make always people stand up, and nobody will be able, when Allah makes them stand up, no criticism, no torture, no death, Allah will make always. And this happens all the time in the whole world. Throughout history, Allah made those individuals stand up for the truth. And they will be firm on the truth. So Allah Ta'ala save us from all this fitness. And we have to be concerned about this haram food, which has become so common. Like the Ashabi Kahf, when they send that person to go and buy food, they said, make sure it is halal food. Because at that time also, idol worship, when they left, they also, from there we should learn a lesson. Many of our friends asking that our family people, our associates, all are involved in all these wrong things. What must we do? We must take inspiration from Ashab-e Kahf. They saw that we can't live with the community. They went in the cave to make Allah's ibadat. And Allah kept them for 310 years there. Anyway, when they wanted to buy food, when they woke up, they also said, make sure. They thought it's still that idol worship time. And all the meat that is, are so slaughtered in the name of the idols. But by then, whole government had changed. It was in favor of Islam, everything. So, when things are so common, this, that one time, I mentioned yesterday, that we were eating at an alim's place. And we're happy that this is no problem. But also, from the takeaways, the food came. And the takeaways, just let's discuss a little bit on that while we are passing there. The takeaways, all the meat, there is absolutely no doubt. It is that which is slaughtered by the slaughterhouses. And in there, we have to understand one other very important point. All those birds, the chickens, are stunned. And also the beef bulls, they are also all stunned. The sheep, goats, etc., they are not yet, as far as we know. But the chickens, all of them that are slaughtered in the slaughterhouses. Now with regard to stunning, once we were in Germany, and I tried to explain this, what we read, the article, and they told me, let us explain to you, we are living here. Bonn is the university town of university. We were there, and they say, we know these things firsthand. Directly we know. So they explained that they had experiments done on animals that are being slaughtered in various ways. So the one is the stunning way. And they put electrodes on the brains of the animal, and they measure the pain the animal goes through and what effect it has on the animal. So an animal that is stunned, many of our people some time ago, even Qurbani time, they should shoot the animal and then immediately slaughter it. That is also stunning, just that the animal can't do anything. Bulls, etc. Once I was a young boy, I remember I was also present on a farm. And the farmer shot the bull, and then the people rushed and they slaughtered it. So when this happens, and even when in hunting, and you shoot the animal and you go and slaughter it before it dies, it's halal. The fatwa will be given halal. But the stunning point, which nobody can deny, which takes place at all the big slaughterhouses, by the stunning of the animal, which their universities, not our universities, born in Germany, they had done these experiments. So they found that when an animal is stunned, and then its brain dead, And when it's brain dead, then the brain doesn't function anymore. On the other hand, the Islamic way of slaughtering, when we slaughter the throat, we cut the throat, then the first thing that happens is that the pain nerves, they run just under the skin. Like we all must, perhaps all of us, we went for some injections, we took injections, or for our blood test, when they also prick us. So that pain is only when it pricks, when it pierces. After that, the pain is no more there. And those who ever had the occasion of being at emergency places of the hospital, and you see a person coming in there alone, and he's bleeding, his hand is broken, but he's like normal, he's talking, he's saying everything. The pain is gone already. That pain was only under the skin. After that, the pain is not there. So when we're slaughtering, the pain is only when that little slight second, just as you slaughter. After that, the animal doesn't go through pain. What we think is pain, because the animal kicks its legs now, the bird, chicken flutters its wings, etc. That is all now that when it has been slaughtered, the blood is coming out, gushing out properly. Not like when it's stunned, only a trickle of blood comes out. But this, the blood flows out fully. So the brain is not getting blood now. Then the brain is sending a message to the parts of the body, I need blood. And the brain is the head of the body. And it is the most important. So all work for the brain. And all the messages which the brain sends in us human beings, in animals, the nerves run here at the back. It's not here in front. Those nerves are not cut. Only the nerve that carries pain is cut. The other nerves are running here at the back. So therefore, it is makruh also to intentionally slaughter the whole head off. That the whole head must not be slaughtered, only the throat must be slaughtered. So that those veins, those nerves are still working. So the brain via that is sending messages to the whole body, I'm not getting blood. And I'm headquarters, and headquarters not getting what it needs the most, the blood. So then the legs start working. And that is when the animal kicking its leg to try and send maximum blood. The wings, it is fluttering, is because it's working hard, whatever blood it has got to send it. But all that blood comes out here at the throat. It doesn't go to the brain. And that animal that is slaughtered, it has got no blood left in it, which is slaughtered properly Islamically. And an animal that all the blood is gone out is the most healthiest meat to consume. And the most delicious meat to consume when the blood is gone out. And when it is stunned, the 99% of the blood remains in the body. 1%, a trickle comes out when it is slaughtered because it's brain dead and the blood is in the hole. That blood, body, animal that has got a blood in it, and we are eating that blood. When we are eating that blood, we are most unhealthy. And the cause of cancer, major, is this year, all that blood. And it destroys the health of a person. Today when sicknesses, illnesses have become widespread, and new sicknesses, we must see what we are eating. And the most untasty meat is that meat. It's a different thing, unfortunately, that today the bad thing stays good to us, and the good thing stays bad to us. Today, one time in Makkah Sharif, family was sitting and eating. There was zamzam also on the table. But when the child wanted, it asked for the Pepsi. It said, give me the black zamzam. But zamzam water doesn't taste nice to us. Pepsi is Coke. Cold drinks generally, that we will, our taste just goes for it. And especially the black, the Pepsi, Coke, these things are very, very unhealthy. The amount of sugar content. But unfortunately, our taste is for those things. And for the healthy things, our taste is not there. By and large, our halal wife hasn't got any taste for us. But the haram woman on the street woman, who are filthy, dirty woman, that have got taste for us. So our taste, and because the same thing, that kufr lifestyle that has come into us, we just living by that. And we who have become pious, we even became ulamas, we just got the covering now of Islam and the name of Islam. But in essence, we are still on that side. Inside we are still, we have to take that out. That is absolutely essential. A person must make dua effort that all this kufr, fi qulubihim marad. How many ayats in the Quran Allah Ta'ala say, when this kufr has gone, this kufr, this nifaq, this tashabbu bil kuffar, love of dunya, all these things have gone in the heart. Then everything a person, if you got green tinted glasses, you see everything green. If it's blue, you see everything blue. With all that, we see everything in that light. We can't see. We are born in the time when kufr is ruling the world. We didn't see Islamic Khilafat. And we don't read the books when Islamic Khilafat was there. What was the life of, what was the thinking of the people? What was the way of doing things? We have got no idea of that. To us, we went to schools. We learned about Shakespeare. We learned about Milton. We learned about Julius Caesar, about Napoleon. All these leaders of the French people, and so they have got value in it. We didn't learn about Muhammad ibn Qasim. We didn't learn about Zayd ibn Usama. We didn't learn about Salahuddin Ayyubi. This way, we are unaware. If it is just some name is somewhere there, but what, who they were, Muhammad Fatih, what things they achieved, that is not with us. So we have to try and take this out from us. So anyway, so the animals which are stunned and all the takeaways, they use only those chickens because their object, and a good research was done by our brother Shaheen, that from all their research, all the businesses, what is motivated by profit. That is the main object, profit. And whatever they assign, an assignment to the farmer, that we want so many meat, or so much meat, so much this, whatever this will be, everyone's motive is profit. That way we can make more profit. So they buy all the meat from these slaughterhouses, and all of them have been stunned. Every animal has been stunned. And now when the animal is stunned, that is what we are consuming. All that blood, 99% of the blood. And blood like that is napak, is najis. Blood is impure. And the animal's blood is totally impure. But that is what we are eating. So we must be very careful. About the takeaways further, there are more than enough stories. But just one or two which will come to mind, we will mention so that we can understand what we are eating, when today it has become a prestigious thing to be eating out. When the family decides to go and eat out, many families got a fixed Saturday night is eating out, or two, three nights in the week is eating out, or once a month, many, it's a big thing. And when we go out for holidays, etc., then eating out there also, it's a big thing, eating out. So one, in it was over the radio many years ago, and in this up marketplace in Joburg, Santon, which is an up marketplace, and the patrons are mostly white people there. Now a lot of non-Muslims also, non-whites, everyone now it's open, it's no more like before. But just after 94, after South Africa gained independence, they interviewed some of the people who prepare the food, and those people, the waiters who serve it. And these people who were preparing the food, they were caught on CCTV, and therefore they were interviewing them. What they were doing when they were preparing the burgers, and they were, it showed it on the CCTV, the footage was there. They prepare it, they put all the things what they have to put, then they take out their gill. Oh, they take out all that, and they spit it on there, and they spread it out on there. So, and then they serve it, and these people eat it. Oh, Wow, what a wonderful burger. You don't get this anywhere in the world, you won't get this. I never tasted a burger like this. And what are you eating in the meantime? They ask them, why do you do this? They say, pre-94, the oppression, zulm they made on us, we're taking our revenge out on them in this way. And while some other waiters in that same program, they interviewed them. Also, waiters of the restaurants, hotels. Now, everywhere you get those people all the time, amongst us, we also, that we like to throw our weight around. So just because we're spending the money, so now we are bossy. So a person, for example, goes with his girlfriend especially to go and eat at a restaurant. Then the way he'll treat the waiter, like he's a big boss, and do this, bring that, because he wants to impress his girlfriend. So they said, if you get such customers, what do you do? Like that once, at the airport, be the old system, not this new system. Now it's all electronic and computerized, etc. A person came to check in. So the girl took his thing, and also that bossy attitude. Those people who have it, they show it everywhere, that we are big bosses, we control everyone. So acting in his bad behavior like that. But she was just cool and calm. She didn't say a thing. And shouting at her and everything. So after that, an old lady came. She said, this person treated you so bad, but I'm amazed that you were so cool and calm. You handled it so well. She said, I also took my revenge. But what revenge you took? I didn't see anything. Said he was going to Australia, and I sent his baggage to Tel Aviv. So he'll go there and wait and be in difficulties, waiting for his baggage. 2-3 days he'll have to wait and all that. So we think we are doing something, but it hits back at us. All this behavior boomerangs and hits back at us. So anyway, this person, when they said, when you get visitors like that, what do? They say, we prepare the food in the kitchen, we go to the toilet. This was first hand. What they were speaking and they were giving their report. And we take the water from the toilet pan and we sprinkle it on there. And then we go and give it to him. And he's eating now with his girlfriend. And now he's acting his big short way and that. And we have a good, good laugh that this is eating all that toilet pan water. So really, not that only, not very long, some time ago, a family in Lanesia, the woman, which happens in all our families, on a Saturday night, they say, we're on strike, we're not cooking. Kitchen is door, is locked. You men must go and buy and feed us today. We feed you the whole week, today you must feed us. So they went and buy from the takeaways, pizzas or whatever it was. And all were sitting now, and that way, no parda, nothing, all the whole family, all sitting, children, woman, man, all together. So one mother with a little child next to her, the child said, oh, what's wrong? The whole ducha, whole bundle of hair in the food. Of these people, non-Muslim, their food. So the mother, she said, nobody will eat, so just hushed it up. Say, keep quiet, there's nothing, and she pushed it one side. Carried on eating. After a little while, another big ducha like that. Now it couldn't be hidden. Now who will be able to? So that is what is in that food, and which we release, and we go and pay so much money. We go for one, when we go and eat out, how much do we spend? We're going out of the house also, and how much money that 1%, 5% of that amount, we could have a wonderful meal prepared at home. And the family can sit and enjoy that meal. And you want to eat out, go and sit in your garden. Go and sit in your yard, you also ate out. But to go to this kuffar, and our family people who also have got a filling station here in Fordsburg, they explained to us that where all these takeaways are, where it's famous, and people, what havoc, what terrible things happen there. They are there at the filling station, they witness all these things, and all the behavior of the people, etc. So Allah save us from all this. One place, in one country town, we were discussing this, and the person then said that he gave his car for service at the garage. And when he went and picked it up, it was not yet ready. So he was standing outside waiting for a little half an hour, 15 minutes, whatever he had to wait. and he saw that Kentucky was next to one of these outlets, next to the garage. And the woman who works there, she was their customer in the shop. So he saw her coming from the supermarkets across the road. So he spoke to her. He knew he's a customer. That from where you're coming from? Why you had to go? To go and buy chicken. But your chicken is halal, yeah? It's certified halal. So he said, it got finished. Now what? I must go and buy from there. From the supermarket where it's not halal. Hey, everyone knows it's not halal. But she went and buy that. For her, halal got no concept. It means nothing. I have to supply chicken. Customer's going to come. It's my duty that I have my chicken got finished. I must go buy others. She's not going to see whether it's halal. The same family, they say they came to Lodium. The daughter or son was studying at university. So on a Saturday night, they said, we'll go out and we'll go and eat out today. So they went, they ordered. And usually when you order, then you have to wait while they prepare. So while waiting, asked that person, this halal board, what does it mean? So he said it means piri piri. That is masala. Right? That just any food that got masala in it, that is halal. So that is his concept of halal. And endless stories of this, of the what these things are. So we have to be very careful. This eating out, we must cut it out from our lives. The money, if the money can't stay in our pocket, give it to the poor. If we have to take it out and spend it on the poor, but just the eating out and the whole family going out and all the other evil, endless evil, you have to dress up for that occasion accordingly. When you're going to, just let me mention this one also. One good friend of ours, marhum, of Azadwar, he had a problem with a rat in his ceiling. So he called the pest control. It was a Muslim man. He handled it, and as they were talking, he said one of the restaurants here in Mayfair, the famous restaurant, they also had a rat problem. Rats were as big as the cats, and they had to go and sort it out. So he said, when I went there, the eating place, spick and span, 100%. Clean, up to hygiene, whatever you can think. But as you open the kitchen door, you say the food is lying on the ground. The rats are running around there. From there, they take it, put it in the platters, in the plates, warm it in the and all stale food. But just in the microwave, 2 minutes in the microwave, nice, warm, like it's freshly prepared. And then they are serving that. And all that, the rats were eating from there. And we go and eat all that food. So we should try and avoid that. So haram completely. And then as we want to, especially for the whole ummah, in the hadith it comes, what Allah commanded the Anbiya alayhi salam, He has commanded the Muslims also, that not only eat halal, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu minat tayyibat. Tayyibat. You must eat. Ya ayyuhal rusul. Kulu minat tayyibat. Tayyibat. That is, it must be halal also, and make sure it is tayyib also. And that is healthy, wholesome food. Not only enough that we eat halal, we must be more particular. If we want to make connection with Allah, then it's without eating halal food, we eating all the haram food, we can dream. We want our islah to be made. You can dream. That your islah can be made when you are eating haram. Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, you eat haram naturally, your inclination will go to guna and haram. And you try your best to stop yourself. Many say, I hate myself. I used to listen to music. Now when I just hear, my heart inclines again. My old school girlfriend I had, I just think about her or I saw her somewhere and I go like mad for her again. It is all because of the haram that we eat. And a person who eats halal, even if he doesn't want to, he inclines to God towards good. Sayyid Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali, one of our big tablighi workers of Durban, he had a passion to give da'wah to non-Muslims wherever he had the opportunity. He said, from my years of experience, I saw that if a person is, what you are telling him, non-Muslim, and he doesn't want to accept, he can't seem to understand. Tell him to do a few things. One is tell him to bath, make ghusl. and then come again. He says the understanding is completely different. The other is give him food, halal food to eat, and let him eat that for a while, and then let him come back, and now you give him da'wah. He says with the haram in them, that haram doesn't make you understand also. And many of us, we are totally on the wrong path, but we just can't understand, we can't accept. People can break their heads and explain to us, but we don't want to explain. Parents with their children, that these children, they just don't listen. It is all the haram that we are eating, the doubtful food that we are eating. This a person can't understand the right thing. So if we eat halal and halal and tayyiban, it guides us to righteousness. A person goes towards righteousness. And one of the main ploys of shaitan is just to feed us haram. So it must be halal, and we must avoid all these takeaways, all that food. Especially where we get involved, and our women folk, is especially when Ramzan comes, they need lot of white meat, and they need lot of what do you call it? The same white meat, fillet, and that with the ordinary slaughtering, it can't supply that demand. The only place that demand can be fulfilled is with the mass slaughtering at the abattoir houses. Only that can fulfill that. And just we make ourselves, we don't need samosas to break our rosas. And we don't need all the pies and all that. We have to come also to some simplicity and live correctly. One good friend of ours who had a weight problem many years ago, and he went to a dietitian. The dietitian told him that you Muslims have been given the greatest diet, and that is rosa. And you are taught in your rosa, amongst all the other things, that you open your rosa on khajur, on fruit. And fruit is the ideal thing when you open your rosa, and the king of fruit is khajur. And today we get the king of khajur, ajwa, rutabs. Ready, yeah, where is Medina Sharif? Allah is giving us, today Allah has made it. That is the best. And the dietitian said, when you open your rosa on deep fries, the samosas, etc. The benefit, the rosa got 12, 15 hours of rosa. Great benefit the body got. But in that 1 minute that you open on a deep fry, more harm is done to the benefit than the whole 15 hours of rosa, of the benefit. In 1 minute when you open your... And the dietitian said, if you want to have your deep fry, open your rosa on khajur. And after that, go and eat. It still will do its harm. But not let you open your rosa with fish and chips, for example. Or you open your rosa on the samosas and all the pies, etc. And the deep fry. That is deep fry. That is stunned animal. That is perhaps not slaughtered also. Not slaughtered properly. What good is that going to give? So our food consumption, we must be very, very careful. A person's character is according to the food that he eats. It comes in the hadith. The body that is nourished with haram, there is no place for it besides Jahannam. Mm. And if we are nourishing our body all the time with haram, that ghuzriya bil haram, that body that has been nourished with haram, the only place for it is the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So all and then another very important thing. One good friend of ours, Maulana Muhammad Saliji, he listens many times. He listened to this, that by Abdul Wahhab Sahib Rahmatullah, he said the buzurgs in the past, if for any legitimate reason they want to decrease the zikr of a person, they just let him eat bazaar food, halal food, but just from the shops, they from there. And the immediate effect is that your desire for zikr goes less. So they were in Jamaat in Pakistan, and one brother was them who used to cry a lot in his namaz, whole day making namaz, crying, very good kayfiyat, huzur qalbi all the time. And but the way he was crying day and night, he was like becoming like a problem for the Jamaat. So they asked the people in that one village they went to. They said that no problem, very easy to sort it out. Just take him to go and drink milk at one of the tea shops. And if you get a tea shop where music is playing, take him to that tea shop. They took him there, one cup tea he drank. and the music playing. From that day, all that kaifiyat gone. No more crying, no more namazes, no more inclination to deen. So when we are eating all this type of food, where will our inclination come for deen? And even if it does, there will be blockages all. Eat halal and tayyiban. Stay in a state of paaki. We are encouraged to stay with wuzu, even better. Then see how naturally your tabiat goes to good deeds. With good company, then see, Allahu Akbar. With regard to good company, ulama have written, the dog that stayed with Ashabi Kaf, he stayed, a dog stayed. And him Allah is giving place in Jannah. Because he stayed with the Ashabi, a dog. In that, our ulama explained that we as human beings, if we stay with the righteous and pious people, al-mar'u man ahab, a person will be. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one sahabi told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that when will be qiyamah? Nabi asked, what have you prepared for qiyamah? So he was taken aback. What did I prepare? He said, no, namazes really, in his humbleness, nothing I've done, but I've left for Allah and his Rasul. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The sahaba say, since the day we accepted Islam, we didn't have more greater joy than when we heard this. That we know we are weak in all our amal, but we love Allah, we love His Rasul, we love the Sahaba. Just by that muhabbat, Allah will put us with them. So if we have that with us, Allah will give us that. So the company we keep, the food that we eat, how we eat it, with music playing, etc. And whether we are sitting down sunnat way, it's got an effect on us. Or we are sitting like haughty people at the table with the armrest chairs, etc. And that at home also, we also bossy with the wife, children with their mother, ma, bring this, ma, do that. Bossing all the time. Now, there isn't that humbleness. But mashallah, there are those children also, when they need anything, they jump up and they go and bring it themselves. They won't even order their sister or their mother. They won't, they and somebody else on something, they all the time, they are ready to make khidmat. That is what our attitude must be. So eating is very important. There is much more to be said. May Allah let us understand. And we eat, our eating, if our Ramzan can just make our eating come right. And the right food and in the right way, we are on our way to highways of success to Allah Ta'ala. And if we are doing all our ibadah, but our eating is wrong. As I explained, in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, all the imported meat is for the Hajis. And it's imported from Australia, from Brazil, from wherever else it is imported. The local people eat of the local, but that is also of that abattoir meat. The slaughterhouses meat, which is all stunned also. And then if you, what you hear, what we're hearing of Saudia and what the laws and their lifestyle, this is the result of it. Our eating is like that, that what else you're going to expect? If you plant weeds, you can't expect roses to grow. And Allah make us that we become conscious of what we put. So careful, we won't put dirt in our... Poison is out of the question knowingly. Nobody will put poison in his mouth. Nobody will eat rats, what is for the rats, etc. Nobody will eat those things. But when we the food, just because it came in a nice clean package, a nice smart package, we think it is smart. But what it is in reality, Allah give us tawfiq, let us understand.